This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
On Joy 94.9, thanks to Joy sponsor Solar Heart. It's not just solar, it's Solar Heart. For details, check out solarheart.com.au.
Welcome to Our House, Joy 94.9's program about where and how we live in our diverse community. We will explore all aspects of real estate, but please seek professional advice before making financial decisions. My name is David Gale.
And my name is Christopher Talbot. Whether you're buying or selling, renting or sharing, upsizing, downsizing, or just thinking about where you'd like to live, this is the GLBTI Real Estate Show for you.
Certainly is.
It is indeed. And I'm Paul McClure, and there's one criteria that we have for the music that we play, and that is it has to have something to do with houses or homes. And tonight there is no exception because we're playing All Crowded House.
Well, that's got the word house in the band's name.
Yes. So if you'd have a story that you'd like to share with us on air about, or you'd like us to read out on air about the topic tonight that we're going to be talking about, which is moving house, or about our gayborhood, which Chris will talk about shortly, then please contact us on air at joy.org.au or by SMS 0427JOY949. That's 0427569949.
On tonight's show, we'll be talking about moving house. So if you've got any tips, tricks or horror stories, feel free to share them with us. We've got a few for you as well. Of course, we'll be looking at current rates in the marketplace and some of the sales over the past weekend in our rates check segment.
Still my favourite.
Yeah.
It is exciting. And on tonight's Gablehoods, we'll be looking at the suburb of Point Cook in the West.
Hey, is anybody from Point Cook that's listening?
Let us know.
Send us an SMS and tell us why it's a great Gablehood to live at. What's that number again, Paul?
It is 0427 569 949, or on air at joy.org.au.
Okay.
Well, we're all on a real estate journey with you, as we're not the experts in real estate.
Hi, come on into our house on Joy 94.9.
Well, it's my favourite time of the show, and I know it's the two of yours' favourite time as well.
I'm excited.
It is. It's rates check time again. Now, strangely enough, the rates haven't moved this week. Are you disappointed, guys?
Thoroughly.
Paul, are you disappointed?
I can't even talk.
You can't even talk. Okay, well, you know, lately the rates have been very, very stable. There are low rates all out there. Go online, check them out. But, you know, maybe use a mortgage broker because they'll be able to advise you who has the lowest rates and who you're eligible to borrow through. I remember a while back, too, when we did have Tim come in, a mortgage broker, and he talked about how different criteria, different banks, and, of course, the mortgage brokers know that. But, of course, you know, you can apply online with some of the cheaper ones.
Yeah.
The big banks, you know, they'll take a little bit of time, but you can also apply through them. This week, however,
yes,
I came across the HSBC website, and not to promote HSBC, although they have a 3.55% variable home loan rate, which is very low.
Not HSBC, very competitive.
That's good.
It's so low, just over 3.5%. But what they did have on there was an amazing calculator that I haven't come across before. It's very, very simple in the fact that you can just type in a different amount and all that sort of stuff. And it says something like, I have a $600,000 home loan. Well, I don't, but many people do. How much difference can 1% make over 25 years? How much difference do you think it would make in interest repayments?
Oh, see, maths. Brain is shut down.
Over 25 years?
Yes.
It would be many tens of thousands.
10,000?
No, more.
More?
$106,650 over that 25 years.
See, this is good for people to know because, you know, every week we talk about the differences in the rates offered by the banks and other lending institutions. Yep. So it's good because a lot of time they're very close together and it might only be 0.5 of a percent.
Yep, sure.
So now you can do this and check.
Yeah, you can sort of put in like 0.5 of a percent, 0.4, 0.3% we did a little exercise on. And even on that same loan, that $600,000 loan, how much difference can 1 year make? The 1% in 1 year, $4,270.
That's incredible.
In just 1 year.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's an amazing holiday.
So that's the savings that you can make. If you're paying something already and you go, you know what, I might see if I can get a refinance, this is how much 1% will make.
Yeah.
0.5%, you know, you can type in whatever you like. But at the same time, I just thought it was a really handy calculator.
Yeah, it certainly
is. I wanted to point that out. Now, of course, the results this week have been very interesting.
Do tell.
Well, because there's been over 1,000 auctions in the last week up to Sunday.
Okay.
1,001 auctions held. Now, last year it was 1,346, and we've talked about this before.
Yeah, yeah.
The auctions, you know, less supply, not as many auctions, but the clearance rate last year for 1,346 auctions was 65%. The clearance rate is still up there at 80% this year.
Wow.
So, lack of supply, a lot of people buying, results are plenty. So, if you're selling at the moment in this spring market, it's a strong spring market, not that many properties to compete against, 80% clearance rate. Top sales this week.
Boom, boom.
Top one was in St Kilda.
Oh.
$4.4 million for a house. Malvern, Toorak, Glen Iris and Hawthorne East. The Toorak one was only 4 mil. Malvern was 4.24. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Toorak, that's the low one.
Cheap
for Toorak.
At half the price.
Glen Iris, 3.86. Hawthorne East, 3.55. Top apartment sales. Brighton this week.
Brighton.
Down your way. Where's Bent Street? Do you know Bent Street?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Yep.
Well, it's an apartment for $3.6 million.
Whoa.
Crikey.
In Brighton. Port Melbourne, Lyons Street. Now, I'm not sure where that is, but it's an apartment that went for $2.125.
Wow.
Findon Street in Malvern East. I've got a friend in Findon Street. There's an apartment, $1.87. Black Rock, $1.745. So even way down at Black Rock, which is about 30 km from the city,
it's
obviously
fair way up, but nice surroundings,
very and ritzy
views.
Suburb.
Yeah. I'd say views all the way back to the city, and Parkville up in Gatehouse Street, $1.717. Now I know you're waiting for something a little bit. I'm not going to use the C word, cheaper. I'm going to say more affordable or good value, as we'd like to put it. Bargain houses. Where's the cheapest one for $250,000? Norlane.
Norlane again, same as last week.
I know, they keep
coming
up.
There's a lot down Geelong Way.
What about Hornbuckle Crescent? What suburb do you think Hornbuckle Crescent is?
Don't know, but you've piqued my interest.
I know. For $262,000, you can live in Hornbuckle Crescent in Melton.
Oh.
Sunshine West. It sounds like a bit of a subdivision. 109A. Something or other Drive, David Drive, $280,000. Mm-hmm. So there's three below 300,000.
Yep.
Sunshine West, Melton and Norlane. North Geelong, $315,000. Dallas, $317,500. Do you think you'd rather live in Dallas than North Geelong?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know.
I have no idea about Dallas, so...
All right. Bargain apartments. Let's start at the top of the five bargain apartments. There's one in Broadmeadows for $330,000. One in Dandenong in Macrae Street, up and coming Macrae Street. I thought that was a main road. But anyway, Macrae Street, $320,500.
Wow.
Step down again. Thornbury. Everybody wants to live in Thornbury. I think that's pretty well a neighbourhood. We must check that out.
Yep, for next week.
Thornbury, $315,000.
Well,
Carnegie, we've talked about before.
Yes.
Everybody wants to live in Carnegie at the moment. $298,000. So that's under $300,000.
Wow.
That must be tiny.
Look, it could be older. Sometimes the older style, Chris, if you've been, and I know you've been listening to the show, but sometimes the older style go for a better price, bigger, you know, floor space areas. Mm. So $298,000 in Carnegie. And the lowest priced one. $270,000 will buy you a flat in Buckley Street, Essendon.
Very nice.
I wouldn't mind living in Essendon. Well, I barrack for the Bombers.
Essendon's very close to the city.
It is. And yeah. So is Carnegie, Thornbury. Dandenong and Broadmeadows a bit further out. But they're the great bargains that are to be had. And that's our rates check segment for the week.
Hi, come on into our house on Joy 94.9.
Yes, welcome back to our house with David and Paul and Christopher. Yes, Russ is still away. South America visiting the in-law, the mother-in-law. So that must be an exciting time. But look, moving right along, we've just had an SMS from somebody who has said Murrumbina, two-bedroom house, $900,000. Well, that sounds like a fair price. I mean, you know, it's a pretty good area, Murrumbina. Usually big lots or else they're subdivides and it's close to the city. Mm. It asks, will Skyrail influence those property prices along that whole belt? Chadstone's very close as well. I've got a theory about this.
Tell us.
You know, you've got a house backing onto the railway line. Mm. It's a house that backs onto a railway line.
Yes.
Do you want to move into a house that racks... If that's what you can afford, well, that's great. But it still backs onto a railway line. Put in Skyrail, it's going to be a little bit higher up. Mm. There's going to be spaces created underneath.
Exactly, for shopping, for parking.
And I know that there was a lot of media coverage about people complaining about the Andrews government going, oh, we're going to elevate this section. But, like, you've still got a house that backs onto the railway line.
Mm. It'll be a potential eyesore, I would say. I mean, I can see why people would... be opposed to
a potential eyesore, like a railway line on the back of your house.
Well, you can hear the train, but if you're sitting in your backyard having a cup of tea, and you can, you know, all you've got is this giant concrete structure in front of your face.
Perhaps so. Well, people are talking about shadows over my house, you know, blah. I don't know.
Most will be unfounded, I think.
I go between for and against. I'm not sure what it's going to do to the price.
Maybe because it's not our backyard.
True.
Anyway, well, you live along a railway line.
I do, yeah. Our back fence is on a railway line. And you just get used to the noise.
Hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to imagine whether having the Skyrail would make a difference or having a Skyrail in your backyard.
Well, look, we're not here to just talk about Skyrail tonight. Tonight's topic is removaling and moving and, I don't know, removalists and
removalism.
Houses. And, you know, when you move.
New word.
When you move house.
Yeah.
Removalizing.
Removalation.
That's the one. Yeah. That might be our podcast. We'll be entitled Removalation. Removalation. Like, but look, you know, moving, I think we've all done it.
Yes.
And we're all going to do it again.
Absolutely.
And again and whatever until we can't do it anymore. But look, it is something that everybody does.
Yes.
And look, you know, I don't know, how do you approach it, Paul, when you move house?
Well, I'd like to think that the technique that I've employed has, over the years, gotten more streamlined. I mean, there was a time when everything just got chucked in the back of a car.
Yeah, well, that's all you had.
And then moved. But yeah, I'm big on boxing up and labeling. I've only ever used professional removalists once on one occasion, and they ended up breaking a light fitting.
Right.
So I sort of, that was a bad experience for me, so I didn't go back to professionals and just called on friends. And I know that we were talking about this before, David, about calling on friends, and we both agreed. It's a big ask.
It's one of the biggest asks. Yeah. You know, you could call up a friend and say, do you want to help me wash my car? And they'd say, yeah, sure, I'll come around, sunny day, strip down to your Speedos and get washed. But, you know, like you could also ask a friend to, you know, babysit. You could ask a friend to do all sorts
feed
of things.
Dog.
Maybe, feed your dog while you're away on holidays. Yeah. But this is a big ask.
And but if you ask somebody for help, then you owe them one. You know, they know you owe them one.
Yes.
So therefore, you know, you're going to have to help them in the future. So it's just a nice little circle of moving friends.
Yeah.
I think, you know, one of the keys is possibly to ask help. I've asked for help before and a very generous friend helped me move my sister who was sick at the time. And that was, you know, I couldn't repay him or thank him enough. But then I think it was a little bit before that I was moving myself and... nobody was available on that day and nobody could help. And I thought, oh, well, you know, preparation is the key, which is what you're talking about.
Absolutely.
Do you have any tips for packing boxes?
I have a few tips.
Well, you're a box packer.
I like to pack a box. Well, firstly, labels. are very important, and theming of boxes. So don't just throw it all in.
Uh-huh.
Your boxes have to have rooms associated with them. So everything from the lounge room in box, in a box or in a number of boxes marked lounge room, bedroom, likewise. Also a tip that kitchen. And on kitchen, I tipped up, I picked up a tip about packing your plates.
Tell me.
You're supposed to pack them. Well, you're supposed to, but you, it's preferable if you pack them like you would pack records. So standing upright.
Right.
They're less likely to break.
Okay. See, I always wrap mine up in newspaper and stack them, but I'm going to try that next time I have to move.
Yeah, give that a go. That and using socks and jocks and stuff as padding, because that saves you having to buy too much bubble wrap and all
so
that
then,
stuff.
So then, do you call it a kitchen box or do you call it a bedroom box then?
Now you're just confused.
Oh, okay, okay.
And if you need socks, do you go to the kitchen or, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you will. Yeah.
One of the things I've noticed is that, like, if you're packing books, small boxes, because they get very heavy very quickly. Yeah. So there's no use putting all your books into one big box because nobody's going to be able to lift it.
No. Yep.
And the same with CDs or DVDs and things like that. They can actually be quite heavy when you put them all together.
Mm-hmm.
Crockery, obviously, smaller boxes. Glassware, even smaller boxes, although they might be quite light, it just means that if one box gets broken, you're not going to lose the whole lot sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I think having a move-in day essentials box, which you just pack, you know, you've got the kettle in there, you've got a few essentials that you know you're going to need on that particular day when you move in, so you don't have to open a million boxes if you don't want to unpack straight away.
Well, that's right, because the thing is, and I don't think everybody, I think, thinks that they're going to move and they'll immediately unpack everything. Mm. You are exhausted by the time you've moved all the boxes. So you want a box that you can go to or a bag that is has everything that you need immediately.
Actually, I put on the outside of mine, open this box first, and it's got a screwdriver in it. It's got some light globes. It's got all the remote controls.
Oh,
it's got
the
coffee.
Essentials.
It's got the kettle.
Yes.
It's got, you know, you know, alarm clock, all those sorts of things that you really need, because most of us probably try and do it on a weekend or we try and get as much done in the one day. And that way, you've got to remember that you've got to get up the next day and go to work possibly.
Yeah.
So you want to have that first set of clothes you're going to wear, because at the end of moving for that whole day, especially if you're doing it yourself, you're going to be pretty exhausted. And also you want to be able to make the bed straight away, so you've got to have all that linen ready, wheels for the bed, or, you know, you're just going to fall asleep on in a heap on whatever.
God, moving is hell. It's just it's taken me back to the last time I moved.
Well, yes, it can be sort of hell. But, you know, some of the preparation, I don't know, if anybody has a tip, like, you know, certainly, you know, doing the thing with those plates, stacking them like records, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear some more tips because, well, you know, we're not the experts. We'd like to share it with you.
We have just got a message in from a listener saying, I moved over the weekend. Removalists were fantastic, very careful and worth the money. Gave them beers at the end of the job. I broke my TV screen whilst moving. Such an idiot. Get wine boxes. Oh, here's a good tip. Get wine boxes. Perfect packing for your own glassware. It worked. Thank you.
That sounds
good
great,
tip,
actually. That's a good idea.
Yeah, look, I've found that removalists, I usually get a particular removalist who's actually a sponsor of Joy, but they only charge from the moment they arrive at your house until they leave the other place. So they don't charge coming from the depot and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
Good.
I would suggest always getting quotes, and usually, you know, you can get a ballpark figure. But this particular removalist always turns up on time, always leaves on time. When you ring their phone number, you end up with the owner on the phone every time, even if they're on a mobile, out on a job or something like that. So, but, you know, at the same time, ring a couple of companies, get a couple of quotes so you know what sort of ballpark you're looking for.
Yeah. And some of them have quite strange conditions attached.
Yeah.
So you want to check out, make sure there's nothing weird going on in relation to your moving.
Well, if you're using a removalist, you know, you want to limit the time that you spend with them. So you don't want it to be 17 hours instead of just 6 or something like that. So some of that preparation, if you've got everything in boxes, you can bring them downstairs or you can have them at the front door.
Ready to go.
Or, you know, when you get to the other end, you can say, I'll just leave them just in here. And once again, that labelling comes back in mind, because you can say, oh, they go in that room, or, you know, they've all been labelled. So that's going to save save you dollars as well as time when they're doing that at the other end.
Yeah, absolutely. And if money is no object, you can always hire someone to come in and wrap up all your knickknacks and pack them for you, like yes. a friend of mine did. They all, the mum directed everything.
Right.
Yeah. They all went out for the day. The
See, mums are good at that directing, stuff, aren't they?
And these women came in and packed the entire house up, and then the men came in and moved it all out and moved it into the new house and unpacked everything as well. So, if
That's
you've got a little extra cash, then, yeah. Well, it's probably like $5,000 or something, but, yeah. you know.
Wow. Yeah. But, you know,
that's
again,
zero
you
stress moving.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you sometimes we don't have the time to do all of that stuff
yeah,
as well.
True.
But, you know, even if somebody offers to help and you think, well, you know, somebody like a mum, she's not going to be lifting fridges and washers and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So somebody that, you know, you don't think's quite up to that job, you can have them doing some directing. Delegation is a big key too.
Yes, absolutely.
If you ask a mum and say, look, mum, can you just help me move? But all I want you to do is just say
this
to the removalist,
here.
This goes over
yeah.
there and that sort of stuff. Also, I think when they're doing heavy things like couches and stuff like that, try and figure out sort of where you want it, because if you decide you want it over the other side of the room, you're going to have to either move it yourself, or you and your partner are going to have to move it yourselves, and that can be quite heavy duty as well. Look, another tip came in from the same listener saying, I use a recycling service the day after I move and spring clean. They picked up all my items, including old carpets. So that's
that's good. That's a good tip as well. But if you know you're going to move...
Yep.
Get rid of everything you don't need. Give it to the Selvos. Give it to a charity store. Give it to friends. Give it to your friends who are helping you move.
Yeah.
If they want it, give them first dibs.
Yeah. There is no use moving stuff that you're going to throw out. So throw it out before if you can.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, you're either paying a removalist or you're just wasting your energy moving those things to somebody else.
And even if you're not moving... Go through a cupboard and throw some crap away.
Oh, it's
people
so
have
cathartic.
So much crap in their houses.
It's great.
So it's a good, cathartic experience.
You're at home with David, Russ and Paul on Our House.
Welcome back to Our House. Today we're talking all things moving house. We've got an SMS in. It says, food in the freezer. What do you suggest when moving? And how does one eat? They say we ordered takeaway for the day before and after the move.
I think chuck the frozen food out. It's probably been there for too long.
Probably.
Yeah.
But try and plan to use it up maybe before it's time to... You want to defrost
your freezer.
Invite
all your friends over to butter them up so that they'll help you move. Cook them a big dinner.
Cook them all in the freezer.
Done.
Carb-load them. But also, you know, I think... Before we were off air, but Paul, you mentioned it's always good to have a little bit of food ready for the new place. Getting takeaways or something like that, you're going to get hungry. And I think we keep on working through it and we forget to actually feed our own bodies.
Yes.
Was there another tip there at all?
There was another message.
Yeah.
There was one more, a tip for getting rid of old clothes and shoes. It says, if you haven't worn it in the last 2 years, let it go. Be ruthless.
Just well, that's
get
something.
Rid of it.
Yeah, well, we should do that all the time. Or, you know, whenever we go on a shopping spree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you've put on a bit of weight and you're planning on losing it, in which case, you know, you might
want to
hold on to them until you slim down.
Now, look, you know, I've actually come across a few tips, and I'm still waiting for more to come in from our listeners. But
yes, please
send them.
A
few tips from the real estate agent. They say spread it out over a day, over more than a day. Don't do it all in 24 hours. You should allow a little bit of time and also to connect things up. Now, it's no use arriving at your new place and going, well, I haven't got the Wi-Fi yet and I haven't got the electricity yet. Don't have any gas. So I can't cook it up. I'm going to have to get takeaways in or whatever. Some of those things really have to be prepared. Some of them quite in advance.
Well,
definitely with internet and things like that.
You were telling me recently about connecting, I think it was electricity, and there's quite a premium if you want it done quickly.
Yes. It was in my Airbnb apartment.
Yes.
And the tenants that were moving out, and I rang up the company and I said, well, you know, I need electricity connected. Mm. They said, oh, we've already disconnected it today. If you want it connected today, we can do that for $300 and blah, blah, blah dollars.
Really?
Yeah, crazy.
Or we can do it tomorrow for $57.
Yeah.
I said, I think I can wait till tomorrow.
Yeah.
But, you know, sort of get those things in place and organised. Also, you know, in certain apartments, this particular apartment has an embedded network, so there's only one provider you can use.
Right.
They obviously buy it wholesale, so you get cheaper rates. But I had to actually find out which company it was.
Yeah.
Now, that meant talking to the building manager and all that sort of stuff. talking to building managers is very important in large apartment blocks because they have rules for moving in and rules for moving out.
Okay.
You can't just arrive there with a remove list and go, I'm moving in now. No, yeah. Because they want to lock off lifts. This particular apartment block, moving time's only between 9 a.m. and 4. No, I think it was actually 10 a.m. and 4 p.m.
Right.
So it was outside the hours when people are going to and from work.
Okay.
Because 2 lifts per tower, yep. Yep. And you can't have them all mixed up. And there were certain times that you certainly couldn't book. I think it was Saturday. I think you had to book just during the week.
Wow.
Right.
But there's all sorts of rules in those sorts of areas. You don't want to get off on the bad foot, and you don't want to arrive with a removalist van and they say, nope, you can't move now. And then what do you do?
Yeah.
And you don't want to annoy your neighbours on the first day when you're moving in either.
True. And the building manager, you don't want to annoy them.
Mm. As well as utilities, though, there's mail. Now, I don't know how many people these days use Australia Post, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's still bills that come by mail
and driver licenses and stuff like that. So don't forget to redirect your mail.
And there's always something you've forgotten.
Yes.
Actually, I had a birthday card that was sent with money in it.
Oh.
From grandma.
How much was in it? $50.
Oh, my goodness.
But it was sent to my old address.
Yeah.
And the mail redirect was over.
You never saw it.
Never saw that $50.
Well, I've done 6-month mail directs, and it doesn't cost very much more than a month or 2 months.
Yeah, no, so it's not. It's not.
Sometimes
that much.
You might get a statement from your superannuation people. A very exciting letter, but when you do get it in the mail direct,
it reminds you.
Oh, you know, I'll go online and change that. So, you know, it can pay that.
Yeah.
Sometimes also when you change your electoral roll, it changes certain other things, like it might change your license or notify them, and then you get contacted.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of handy lists, certainly through some of the utility people and through some of the real estate websites that sort of prompt you to remind you about those. It can take a whole day to change all of these addresses, but maybe the redirect will remind you as you go on, and then things that you don't get, except for Nana's birthday card.
Nana's birthday money.
Yes.
Mm. Why didn't you tell her that you'd moved?
No, she did know I'd moved, but she still accidentally put the wrong address, and then she felt really bad, and then she gave me another $50.
Did she cough up again?
Which I felt bad about. But anyway.
But you spent it.
Thanks, Nana.
Thank you.
Keys as well. You know, you might be ready to move on a Saturday morning at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, and you're thinking, okay, time to get moving. You load up the car, you go to the real estate agent. They don't open till 9.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, keep that in mind, because if you've booked the removalist for 7 o'clock in the morning and you go to the real estate agents and they're not open, you're not going to be able to pick up the keys.
No.
Well, I mean, this last time when I moved, I got the keys on the Monday and I think we were moving on the Friday.
Mm.
So yeah, well, that helped.
It was such a good transition because I could pack boxes and take bits over in the
car. Take a few things, yeah.
And, you know, I was sort of 50% moved by the time we were ready to get the van and do the major stuff, so... I think
that makes
a good way to
difference
do it.
Too.
Mm. Hey, what about guys? What about moving out? Say from a rental property, you're moving out, and you might have hung some pictures, or you might have put a few nails in the wall here and there. What do you do about that?
Well, we've been having a little look around, and if you've put some holes in the wall, the one tip that we saw there was using soap to fill the hole.
See, I've never heard of that.
No.
Well, it's going to fill the hole
like
with
a white soap.
So, I mean, you can use toothpaste.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or you can, if you're not as stingy as the people that have obviously posted those tips, you can go get some gap filler and use that.
Do it properly.
Yeah. And I've also got one for scratches on the floor, which is a walnut.
I love this. This is a great idea.
What?
So you just take a peeled walnut.
Yeah.
An unshelled walnut, I should say.
Right.
And you just rub it on the scratch, and literally like magic, before your eyes, the scratch disappears.
So you just rub your nuts on the floor and it goes.
It does.
Wow.
And it works well on parquetry, on hardwood floors. And even at a major hardware retailer, you can buy, if you've got someone, like I've got a friend who's a drag queen, who's a little stopper had popped off the end of the shoe.
Oh.
And so he was walking around with a nail.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Scratch,
just going
on their hardwood floors.
You can actually buy from the hardware store a special thing that fills in holes. that will match to the colour of the floor.
I think I'd prefer to do what you suggested, though, Paul.
Nuts.
Just rub your nuts on the floor.
Yeah.
Get rid of those marks.
Well,
careful of splinters.
Sure
it is. Yeah, it is.
Just unshell your nut and...
But yeah, go grab a walnut and try it now. It's really
because
remarkable.
This is all
that
about getting the bond
amazing.
Back.
Yes, it is.
That's what it's more about.
Yeah.
Look, you know, maybe certainly for hanging things on walls, often it's better to use some major... there's a major company that does some fantastic removable hooks. I've used
yes.
them in
oh, yes.
a number of apartments. And, you know, the heavier the painting that you want to put up, you just use more hooks and things like that. Not something like 15 kilos, yeah. a major artwork like that. But you take them off, you take them to the next place. And I don't feel a place feels like a home unless unless you've sort of got some things on the walls.
Added a little bit of a touch of yourself.
Yeah, makes a difference.
It does indeed.
We've got one more SMS in at the moment. The real estate agency has a home service that did that all for us. I would say that's all to do with connecting utilities.
Yeah.
Some of them do that. So maybe that's worth looking into. Also, when it comes to cleaning a place, when you're leaving an old place, often if you get the cleaning company that real estate agent uses and you pay them to do the clean out, there's no dispute. There's no sort of, you didn't clean the...
You didn't do it properly. Do it
this
again.
Properly.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And steam cleaning is important too on carpets because it's in your lease. So, you know, check up on that before you move out. Get that bond back.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Our House on Joy 94.9.
You are indeed listening to Our House on Joy 94.9 and we're tonight talking about moving house.
We certainly are. What about horror stories?
Horror stories.
Oh.
I'm sure we have some.
Well, you know, I remember one time I was asked to move house for somebody else.
Mm.
A mate of mine and myself, we were asked because he had a trailer and he said, do you want to come along? I said, oh, yeah, surely, you know, as long as there's a bottle of something to keep us cool afterwards.
Yes.
And we went along to these people. I didn't know them that well, but anyway, went along. We said, you know, are you ready for us to come and move? Yeah, everything's ready, everything's ready. We arrived at the house, walked in. Nothing had been packed, not a thing.
Oh.
That like we started in the bathroom. The bathroom was full of toiletries, old toiletries as well.
Yeah,
there was face washers out, and you know, like nothing
it's
had
outrageous.
Been done. Went into the kitchen, the pantry, absolutely full. The bedroom, the bed was still made, all that sort of stuff. They had done nothing. What was meant to be, you know, a few hours job loading up the trailer with stuff. It was hours. They didn't even have boxes. We had a lot of garbage bags, which is a no-no when you're moving house because they break.
Yes.
And it was that was probably the worst move. And it sort of made me – it put me off trying to help people
I would have
move.
Walked away from that. I'm
yes,
sorry. That
absolutely.
In hindsight, I should have walked away. But, gee, it was bad. Have you had any horror stories yourself, Chris?
Not personal horror stories. I mean, I've nearly, you know, bust my back trying to carry stuff up staircases.
But you've got to be careful.
The only horror story. And we have a really tricky kind of U-shaped staircase that goes around this central part. And it's really, really... We had to literally pass furniture objects over this massive gap to the top, which
yeah,
was quite
sometimes
heavy.
You have to lift them higher and it can be a couch. There's, you know, a lot of times people don't know that their couch won't fit in.
Yes.
Were you talking before we went on air about somebody that couldn't get anything into their
place?
Yes,
yeah. A friend of mine bought their parents bought a new apartment, quite an expensive one, and it had a small lift and a very narrow staircase and none of the furniture could fit upstairs.
Oh, no.
So they had to remove the windows, hire a crane, which they had to get council permits for and put that on the street and then crane all their furniture in and then have someone come in and replace the windows. So, you know...
Things have got a bit expensive.
You're looking up to like a $10,000.
I was going to say for a crane.
So, I mean, they were wealthy people, but still, the stress of having to go through all that.
As well. Yeah.
It's never move again.
Yeah.
No.
And that architect needs a slap on the wrist. Whoever designed that place is
a place designed for very tiny furniture.
Yes.
I suppose it would always look spacious if you had tiny furniture.
Yes.
But, you know, like if you can't fit the basics, I wonder if they had the washing machine and everything else just sort of hauled in there. I was reading a story about somebody who moved, they had a moving day from hell. They started off by trying to scrimp on the removal fees by trying to save an extra $80 by cutting all the time down.
Right.
And as they were moving out of their place in South Yarra, they decided to disconnect the washing machine. They could see the two obvious water things that added that connected up to the washing machine. They didn't know there was a third one, so they disconnected the first two, moved the washing machine. Off went the water. The water went everywhere, and it flooded out the whole place. And they were right up the top of this block of apartments, waterfall cascading down the stairs. On the day that they moved to this new place, they'd ordered a brand new 3-seater couch, and it arrived that morning, wouldn't fit up the stairs, and they paid $100 to get it delivered. And the guys said to them, the delivering guys said, didn't you measure from the floor to the roof to see whether, you know, you could actually fit it in? Their car didn't fit into the lock-up garage. It must have been a tiny garage because they said they only had a little hatchback Corolla, but it wouldn't fit in the garage of the new place. God. Now, if you've signed a lease, for a year, you're legally stuck to stay in that place.
Yeah.
And also, let's see, they had the flood. It's pretty bad. Somebody else was talking about how they moved into state and they packed up their home in Sydney to return down to Melbourne. And somewhere along the line, on the day that it was going to be delivered, they'd already come down to Melbourne. They got a call from the removal company and they thought, they're going to ring up and say, oh, look, it's running a couple of hours behind, traffic down the Hume Freeway, all that sort of stuff. Unfortunately, the driver had an accident on the Hume Highway suffering life-threatening injuries. Without knowing the seriousness of the injuries, the company couldn't move the truck until the driver had been given the all clear. Fortunately, the driver was okay, but a couple of days later, they got a call from the people that were doing the move down to Melbourne, and they asked him to come to a warehouse in Melbourne to identify his belongings. Now, sort of straight away, alarm bells go off when you identify.
Yeah.
So he got there, and all that survived was his golf clubs, a nice rug, and his snowboard, which he needed that weekend. Obviously, a high achiever getting around all over the place, but at the same time, move house and then go off to the snow. But but he said that he paid for insurance through his removalist company, which he wouldn't have considered unless they'd said, oh, do you want insurance? So obviously, moving large distances and certainly all your belongings in one van, it can happen that you're going to have to identify the remains rather than...
Pull back the sheet. Is this your couch kind of thing?
Exactly.
Pull back the sheet. Is this your sheet?
They said that they actually ended up with a bigger TV. So that's pretty big sort of horror story. If you've got a horror story, send one in. If you have any other tips for moving, certainly do that as well. Okay, I believe it's probably just time for another quick SMS there. We're getting some great tips here. There's a packing place in Brighton. Boxes also have hangers for clothing. I've actually seen some of those boxes.
Yeah.
They're a big box that looks like a little bit of a wardrobe, and they're made out of cardboard. Yeah. And some of them you might pay a bit extra, but everything hangs in there, so you don't have to fold up all the clothes. You're going to save a bit of time yourself and a bit of effort, and then when you get to the new place, you just put it straight in. And it's certainly not worth breaking your back. So there you go. Yeah, physio fees are expensive, they're saying.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
So maybe save a little bit of money by getting some of those removalists.
Absolutely. I think it's that time.
What sort of time?
It's Barry time.
Barry time at all. At last. It's not Barry Morgan either with his amazing organ. It's the other Barry.
It's the other Barry. It's the Crocker.
It is. Now, have we heard from anybody from our neighbourhood yet?
No, not as far as I can tell.
Christopher, tell us about our neighbourhood. Where are we talking?
Where are we off to?
This week we're off to Point Cook.
A neighbourhood
in Melbourne's west. Well, we might be grasping at straws slightly,
loosely,
but too. I'm sure. I definitely know one gay couple that lives there, and actually
it's a neighbourhood.
And Wayne and Tom from Gogglebox Australia, they live in Point Cook. So, like, two of Australia's most degraded celebrity gays.
Really? In Point Cook Upper, perhaps?
Yes, perhaps.
It's pretty flat out there, I think.
So, we're talking 26 kilometres on the freeway from Melbourne town.
A short drive, isn't it, on the freeway?
I mean, it's not shocking.
15 minutes at 100 k's an hour.
And Point Cook sells itself as having a resort lifestyle with, brand spanking new homes. There was one article I saw that described them, a lot of them, as McMansions.
I don't know if that's a selling point.
I mean, they're certainly more affordable in terms of Melbourne property. The median house price is $525,000. Rental for about $380 a week. And I guess
that's for a whole house too. So you might be sharing
that's for
with
two
a few
bedrooms.
Other people.
No, that's for more than two bedrooms. Sorry. Yeah. So yeah.
Wow.
So that's not too bad.
No.
So I suppose if you're going to set up, you might be buying your first house. It could be a brand new house, and you'd certainly get more bang for your buck.
Sure.
Rather than buying, you know, a place in the inner city. So that could be why a lot of younger couples from the GLBTI community would end up buying their first place out in Point Cook.
Yeah.
They're all new houses.
And according to realestate.com.au, there's not a lot of visits per property. So last week we looked at Albert Park and there was over 2,000 people that visited every property.
Mm.
In Point Cook, we're looking at 159 visits on average.
Less competition.
So, yeah, that's opposed to 579 over the whole of Victoria. So I think, you know, that's quite good.
And also if you're renting, you know, somebody might have bought a place out there as an investment property, but the rents aren't going to be as high as the inner city. So once again, you know, you might have kids, you might have pets, you might have your Furby kids.
Yep.
You're going to need a bit of room, and I suppose it's near the beach, isn't it?
It is. It is close to the beach, and it's also a place where people are buying those investment properties, those, you know, second, third investment properties.
Mm-hmm.
And realestate.com.au also said that it's the number one investor hotspot in Melbourne.
At the moment?
At the moment, ahead of Carlton, Glen Waverley, Frankston. So it is a real up-and-coming suburb to invest your money in, I think.
Well, yeah, instead of buying a one-bedroom apartment that everybody seems to have a one-bedroom apartment in all of these new tower blocks, you can get certainly something much bigger and something that people want to live in.
And for the gays in the Point Cook Village...
Yeah.
Wyndham City Council certainly do have some things that they provide for the LGBTIQ community. They do support the International Day Against Homophobia. Oh. They have some midsummer festival events, including the Park Lounge, which is a big Twilight Music Festival, which this year is in... Where is it?
Wyndham.
Yeah, in the city of Wyndham, but it's in Werribee, sorry, this year.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then there's the Wyndham Rainbow Neighbours Inc., which is a big gay group out that way, which you can network with other gay people that live in the area. So there's certainly a lot out there for support for LGBTIQ people.
In fact, we were talking about Wyndham last week when you were away, Paul. Mm. Last weekend would have been the big Victorian Rose and Garden Festival, which we were talking to a guest that was involved with that.
Yep.
And that was held at Werribee Mansion. So I suppose a lot of space, and also you could probably drive to the station and get a train into the city if you're commuting into the city.
Yeah, it's got a couple of stations pretty close by, and you know, not too difficult to get in.
Yeah, and you can buy a new house out there. Certainly a good tip and a great gayburb and great gayborhood suburb to live in.
You're at home with David, Russ and Paul on Our House.
Well, it's been a jam-packed moving experience tonight.
It's been a very moving program.
Yes, I'm thoroughly moved.
I knew you'd be moved there, Christopher. Yes. Look, we've had one more SMS coming in. 300 people attended a rental inspection in South Yarra recently. That was about a month ago in Caroline Street. Can you imagine what it's like?
That's soul-destroying, it really is, if you turned up to a rental inspection with 300 other people.
Whereas if you went to one in Point Cook, the gayborhood of the West...
Mm-hmm. Cheap
nowhere
rent
near.
And there'll be no one there.
Yeah,
so.
And a bigger place to live in.
Yep.
Look, it's been a great show. It's been great having Christopher guesting in again this week.
Thank you for having me.
Christopher.
Of course, Russ will be back very soon from Patagonia, South America and everywhere else. Other gayborhoods.
Looking gorgeous, no doubt.
Who knows?
Very jealous.
Iguazu Falls and everything else.
Yeah.
Next week, we'll be back, of course, at 9 o'clock.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.